This is Scott Richmond.
And Arnie Sherman.
You're listening to What Do You Know on News Talk KGVO, AM 1290 and 98.3 FM. Arnie Sherman, a good Sunday morning to you.
Scott, it's always a good Sunday morning when I get to share it with you. We have an interesting show lined up for today. We're going to talk about the Downtown Safety Access and Mobility Plan, SAM. And we have Ashley and Megan from the city who are going to be joining us. And this is the biggest construction project in the city in the last 18, 20 years, except for the bridge project. This is the biggest infrastructure, $25 million involvement in transportation from Higgins and Front Street, Riverfront Trail. You know, signal optimization, all kinds of interesting things, applying new technology, the latest thinking to try to improve how downtown flows and operates. And I'm looking forward to getting more details about how this is all going to look and how what the timelines are.
Me too, Arnie. Our guests are Megan McMeekin and Ashley Warren from the city of Missoula as part of the Downtown SAM project. Back after these words.
Ever tried balancing a dozen eggs in one hand while hopping on one foot? Or maybe juggling cats while riding the unicycle? Sounds ridiculous, right? But guess what? That's exactly what texting while driving is like. Your human brain only has the capacity to focus on one thing at a time. So when you're behind the wheel, give driving your undivided attention.
Don't drive distracted. A message brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration, Project Yellow Light, and the Ad Council.
Arnie, we are back with our guests, Megan McMeekin and Ashley Warren with the City of Missoula and the Downtown Safety Access Mobility Project.
Welcome to the show. It's good to have you both here, Megan and Ashley. So for our listeners, before we start talking about what SAM is involved in and the history and how we're making Missoula more safe, accessible, and more mobile for everyone, how do the two of you coordinate your work together?
Oh, yeah.
That's a great question. As the project manager, I mean, I bring Ashley into every meeting.
Yeah.
Ashley, do you want to fill in the blanks?
Well, for a project of this size, there are a lot of meetings. And no, we're not just meeting for the sake of meeting. The project is so big, it truly requires a lot of coordination between a lot of different departments. We actually have a weekly meeting just to keep the project on schedule and on budget. And then I attend those meetings to make sure that I can communicate effectively to the public. So yeah, Megan right. and I are, we spend a lot of time together.
So, but putting aside subcontractors and people that are doing, you know, infrastructure work on it, how many people from the city are involved in this project?
Yeah, that's a really good question. This project touches many of the different departments within the city. So Public Works and Mobility has a strong hand in it. Parks and Rec has a strong hand in it. The Parking Commission, MRA. So within that project, we've got what we're calling these technical review teams. We have representation from all of these different departments. And then within that, different interests or specific groups. There's surface transportation, there's utilities, there's stormwater, again, the Parking Commission. I don't have a number, but it's a large lift right. on the city. And then also with the Montana Department of Transportation, there's close connection with that too. And there's a lot of people.
But, and the staff for SAM are how many?
The staff dedicated to this project, I'm 100% dedicated to it. Ashley, this is her priority project. I'll speak for you on that. But I would say it's generally us. Ashley, do you have more thoughts on that I'm missing?
Yeah, well, and folks can go to Engage Missoula, and we have materials from the open house that we did a few months ago. And in those materials, it kind of talks about all the people involved. And we have a project team, and that's the team that meets weekly. And from the city, that's me and Megan, and we're meeting with our consultants. But then we have a project leadership team that's about 10 people, mm-hmm. and they meet monthly. And then the technical review teams, gosh, Megan, would you say there's at least 15 people on each of those subgroups? 15 to 20.
Yeah.
So, yeah, at any given time, you have up to 20 people working on this project.
So you gave the sort of softball lead in, which is it's a big project, and
Yes.
mimicking Johnny Carson for a second, how big is this project?
Dollar value size, about $25 million.
And that's big for a city of Missoula's size. It's one of the bigger
It's big.
projects.
It's the largest, I'll say the largest project that the city of Missoula has ever taken on and completed.
And who's funding it? Where are you getting all this
Primarily
dough?
funded, yeah, primarily funded by the federal government through the RAISE grant. We also have other stakeholders, through the Missoula Redevelopment Agency has contributed money to this through the TIF funding, and we also have Parks and Rec that's contributed money, the Downtown Association and Mountain Line, and then the Business Improvement District of Downtown.
Okay, so now we have a little bit of the context for it. So for our listeners, what is SAM? What is the Downtown Safety Access Mobility Project?
Yeah, let's get into that. Downtown SAM is comprised of four what we're calling project elements. We've got the Higgins conversion from Brooks to Broadway, which is bringing the lane configuration from the current four-lane configuration down to three lanes. Front and Main will be converted from their current one-way configuration to the two-way configuration. We've got the Riverfront Trail improvements, which includes widening the Riverfront Trail from about Orange Street out to Bess Reed Park. It includes improving the gateway connection at Ryman Street and Patty Street, and establishing a dedicated path from Front Street through Kiwanis Park to the Riverfront Trail. On top of all of that, this project element also includes construction of a new ADA compliant ramp from the east side of Bear Tracks Bridge down to the Riverfront Trail. And then to tie all of this together, we've got signal optimization. So about 23 signals in downtown will be essentially just retimed and making the flow of traffic work together better.
And the history of this, just give us a quick history so we can get up to date. When did this start? When I know it's going to have construction beginning in 2027. When's it going to end? I mean, what's the genesis and the overall
Yeah.
picture of this?
I'll answer the short question of when it's going to end. We
Never.
through our grant agreement have a substantial completion, which means we need to have traffic flowing on the streets by December 31st of 2029. So that's a hard deadline that it needs to be done by. Not to say we might finish it sooner. We haven't gotten into those details quite yet, but that kind of gives a general sense of it's a couple years long.
Okay.
And in terms of the
Ashley, I think
history,
that's what I was going
yeah.
to say is you have the history of this.
Well, and this goes back all the way to 2009 with the downtown master plan. Elements of this project were conceived in that master plan. Then it was updated in 2019. But, improvements to downtown's transportation infrastructure have been mentioned in multiple plans. Then there was a study on Higgins, the Higgins Corridor study, and that's how
Right.
we came to, the information that it would be helpful to go from four lanes to three lanes. And the Front and Main conversion was also its own study. And so these all coalesced in the grant proposal that was submitted back in 2023, I believe. And that's how the federal funding was secured.
Right. And then even talking through the trail component of it, the North Riverside Parks and Trails plan that was adopted recently, that's where the trail component really came from too, and adding that on to all the other layers of these planning studies.
Are
So
there
kind of,
other towns that have taken on similar projects like this that we could look at, or we could that maybe we have visit our listeners have visited?
I would say anyone who received a RAISE grant is probably a town where you can see the kinds of work that they're doing. I will mention that Billings, Montana, recently converted their downtown streets from one ways to two ways. And as somebody who used to live in Billings and was there recently, it was pretty nice actually to drive on two-way streets instead of one ways. It was way easier to get around.
It's easier to get around, but also, isn't the intent of this project to create a lot more engagement with downtown and make parts of town more, accessible to foot traffic, bike traffic, and, enjoy the features of the river and really let people experience the whole of downtown
Right.
more
Absolutely.
effectively?
It's a lot of placemaking and bringing people into downtown,
Which is
making it a
important.
vibrant destination.
Yeah, because I can tell you, I love downtown, but sometimes I will avoid downtown because of exactly what you're solving for, either just getting around in a car or parking, which
Right.
I'm sure you've heard before.
Yes. Talk about the herd part. Public engagement. Everybody wants improvements, right? No one likes the status quo. Everybody thinks something should be better. Every time they're stuck at a traffic light for two lights, they think the city is falling apart. Blah 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 blah. All that kind of stuff related to bike. You love bike paths. You hate bike paths. You're honking at bikes. People get hurt. All that kind of stuff. They want it better. Then you invest $25 million and have public engagement, and then people. I'm sure there's a significant number or a number of people that are critical of what's going. They all think they're experts at, safety and access, and they're not, two lanes are going to be horrible, two-way streets are going to, four lanes to three lanes are going to make more congestion, yada, yada, yada. So what kind of stuff have you heard? Am I kind of capsulizing some of the things you hear when you engage the public and talking about what you're planning to do?
Oh, for sure. Yeah. Yeah, exactly. But you know what? It's really interesting. And I think this happens with any project. We're also hearing, oh my gosh, I can't wait.
Wait, right.
I can't wait. This is going to be so much better. Now that I understand the project a little bit better, every time I'm sitting at a traffic light, I just tell myself, oh, this will be so nice when the traffic lights are optimized.
Yes,
Yep.
definitely.
And when I'm driving downtown, I'm like, gosh, dang it, I just wish I could turn
Right.
on to Main Street
Turn
instead of
left.
having to do the multiple things to get to where I need to
Right.
go.
And then
Yeah.
people say, yeah, but what about Reserve Street? Now we got that. What about all that? That's crazy, and all of that sort of stuff.
Yeah.
It
That's
is
its own
difficult.
animal. Yeah. Well,
So in looking
yeah.
at the website real quickly at engagemissoula.com, it looks like it goes from Spruce all the way to 6th Street and then all points in between, which is amazing, actually.
So it's
So,
not as far as Spruce Street, actually.
well, what are those? I'm looking at
Those
those
the
red
dots
dots.
are, yep, those are the traffic signals that we will be
Oh, you're right. Yeah.
retiming and optimizing. Yeah. So that's more expansive because if you think about it, those signals are what is controlling the flow of
Right.
vehicles into downtown. So optimizing all of those signals is just helping to enhance the what's happening when you get into downtown.
And those signals that are going to be optimized are based on some newer technology that, basically there are, sensors in the roads and everything that, kind of gauge the traffic and then figure out how long to leave the lights going and their different sequencing at night when the traffic's less and all of those sorts of, improvements.
Yeah, they'll be much smarter than they are today.
It's great. This is exciting. I mean, our town deserves this, right? At least I feel it does.
It does. It does. As a longtime Missoula resident, Missoula downtown has looked the same since I can ever remember it. And getting into Karas Park has looked the same since the first time I went there. And now I get so excited seeing these design drawings and plans of like, oh my gosh, this is amazing. And like, my Missoula heart grows a little bit.
Well, one of the most encouraging things about the overall project is the fact there's a hard date associated with it. Scott and I originate back east, and you go back after 20 years, and there's still, orange cones on the same streets, for 25 years. It doesn't change. You try to get into the Holland Tunnel going into Manhattan, or you're out
Ooh.
on it's just a orange cone city, and it's never changed in our lifetime practically. And the fact there's a hard date that you can look forward to, you know, cleaning it all up and getting it, you know, operational without having, you know, continuous, you know, delays, deferments, you know, redirects, detours, and all that kind of stuff.
Yep.
You know, makes the wait, you know, tolerable.
Right. And that's it. I've lived at a few different places throughout my life, and one of them being the East Coast. And you go out there and it's just like, it's natural, or it's just typical to see road construction happening, and people adjust to it and they just expect that. And here in downtown, we haven't had a downtown construction project in many years. And so now people are feeling a little apprehensive about that,
right? Where
it's, you know, you, like you mentioned at back east, like, you know, you got the orange cones up all the time and people just are used to it. And that's what I think is making this another challenge for us.
Megan,
well, you know, and people, you know, all over the country have tried different ways. You know, they do the work at night in some places.
Right.
Here, there's
right.
a big construction project in the Las Vegas area on the Circle Freeway. They're doing it at night. You know, that's good. The bad is they take four lanes and collapse it into one, and you know, at 9:30 or 10 o'clock at night, the traffic's backed up for 2 miles. Or they're doing the strip, Las Vegas Boulevard, during the day they have it torn up. And that's a horrible, you know, stretch of road to begin with. You know, this seems to be much more, you know, sensitively planned in terms of creating a lot of, you know, continuous heartache for people who are trying to get around.
Right. Absolutely. The construction planning and the phasing is something we're really dialing in and really focusing on. I will say one of the benefits of this project is we are bringing the contractor on board early in the process. So in some projects, you'll go through design and then you'll bid it out, and the low bidder contractor is awarded the project.
Right.
In this case, we have the contractor on throughout the design process, so that we can work through this construction phasing and problem solve now, which is also going to help us in our communications as to answering those questions that everyone wants to know is, when is this happening? When are you going to be in front of my business or whatnot? And I will say at this point in time, we don't have that information yet, but again, we are working on it. So when we are in construction and we get there, we have those answers.
Right. I was going to ask you about businesses, because they seem to be the ones that would probably have the loudest voice at the table, given the fact that whatever is being worked on is going to impact the flow of their business, foot traffic and auto traffic, I would imagine. Mm-hmm. So how are you communicating with them, and how are you keeping them up to date so that, you know, I think that's the big thing, right? With a project like this, is people should never be, they don't want to be surprised. They want to have fair enough advance to be able to plan for it. So tell us how you're going to do that to the both of you, actually.
Yeah.
That question.
Ashley, this is yours.
Okay. Well, we have lots of different ways that people can learn about the project. We've already mentioned, of course, engagemissoula.com. We have a portal for this project where you can learn about the different project elements. You can see materials that we've been working on. There's an FAQ. So the website is absolutely the first place people can go to get information about the project. While you're there, though, there is the opportunity to subscribe to project updates. And so we will send out a newsletter to folks who are subscribed. You can actually get it as a text or as an email. And that'll be really important when we get closer to construction and we're sending out those very timely updates saying, you know, XYZ street is closed from this hour to this hour. So there's a lot of resources on that website. But also, we do public events. I mentioned we did an open house last fall. We're planning on doing additional open houses, one this spring and likely one next, this fall, fall of 2026.
Right.
I forgot that we're in 2026 already. But we also do pop-up events as well to try and engage with as many different people as possible. You know, things like the farmer's market or going to First Friday. Yeah. But then also a part of this project is speaking to people one-on-one, doing stakeholder outreach and really making sure that, the folks who that are impacted by this project get the information that they need. And we expect that we will be doing frequent updates specifically for downtown business owners and property owners when we get closer to construction, similar to other projects where there have been like weekly updates where folks can gather in a location and the project manager says, okay, here's what's going on this week. We expect that we'll be doing that kind of communication with this project as well.
It's a big project.
So, yeah, it's a big project. So right now, for our audience, what are the most salient, the top three or four most salient features of the project that the public should be aware of?
Well, I mean, I think the public's already pretty aware that we're going from four lanes to three lanes and that we're going from one ways to two ways. So I would not say those are the salient ones because people already know.
Yeah.
I think what they don't know is that, like Megan was saying earlier, the traffic signals is the glue that holds all this together. That when you have traffic signals that are appropriately timed, that means the green lights are only lasting as long as there are cars, then it doesn't matter if it's a one-way or a two-way, or if there's a dedicated turn lane. It's that the traffic truly is just going to move more efficiently because that feature is operating appropriately.
Arnie, this is funny. How are you going to teach people, how are you going to teach Westerners to get into the middle of an intersection to make a left-hand turn and not hang behind the line? I mean, that is the biggest bugaboo I have here in this town. And I've been here 13 years, is they don't know to get into the middle of the intersection to prepare for a left-hand turn. What's
Yeah,
the, Megan, I ask you
yeah,
this. What
yes.
can you do? Ashley, what can you do?
I
Honk.
mean, I just want to mention that one of the first acronym or the first letter in this is safety.
That is safe, though. By hanging back, it's not safe.
Yeah. Reach
Well,
their own.
having that dedicated left-hand turn lane, so the whole reason we're going from four lanes to three lanes, like it's not the only reason, but a major
Right.
part of this is the fact that we're going to have a dedicated
Yeah.
left-hand turn. And
Good.
I have to tell this funny story. Megan and I did the first Friday art walk in 2025, and we did what's called a parklet, where we did a little
Pop-up
pop-up,
park.
and we were sitting at the corner of Main and Higgins, and it was Friday night. And we watched the traffic back up for car upon car upon car. We watched people drive the wrong way on the one-way street. And we were able to say, this
Like, this is
project,
why
we're
we're
doing this
doing
project to
this.
help with exactly that.
Yeah.
It's so important, by the way, to do that. I'm going to give you a promotional idea. You guys should be driving around with stakeholders in town and do carpool karaoke around
Oh my
the
gosh.
different major areas of the SAM project, and everybody gets to pick their song, okay?
Okay.
But it should be related to mobility, safety, and accessibility.
Or
Right,
related
right.
to downtown.
Or downtown, right. Yeah, exactly, Ashley. You and I have done this all, we've done a lot of this blue skying, but make it fun.
Yeah.
Make this fun
Oh, I like
because,
it.
yes, because it's going to be a fun experience once people can make their lives a lot easier. You know, the one thing you have to be, the cautionary tale I always think about is this bridge over here near our office, Ashley's old office, the bridge to over South Reserve, right? Remember that? And there's always somebody complaining about that, but they didn't realize it was federally grant funded. And everything you're going to be doing is federally grant funded too. It's not necessarily hitting people's local pocketbooks. Is that correct?
Right, that is correct. Yep.
You've got to communicate that in proactively because people will just like immediately, anytime there's any service or any discomfort, they'll be like, oh, we're paying for this discomfort. You're like, no, you're not. This is all
Yeah.
being federally funded to better your lives.
Right. Let
Yeah.
me
Right,
focus on.
Arnie?
Yep, I agree with all of that. The one thing that I want to sort of dwell on a little bit here is the safety element of all of this. you know, in the wintertime when you only have about 8 hours of light. And that also coincides with perhaps in different years, icy streets or, you know, the buildup in the margins of snow from previous snowfalls and all that sort of thing. Is there part of the plan, it hasn't been mentioned or I hadn't seen it, better lighting on the streets or, you know, more incandescent lighting? Or how do we deal with that when people are, you know, they have trouble being in the turn lane in the daylight? What about it, you know, 8:30 at night or or at rush hour when it's dark at rush hour?
Yes.
That is definitely something that I feel like is often overlooked as a safety enhancement that is so necessary. And we are working on a design for the lighting and getting that incorporated in this project in areas that it makes sense.
You know, it affects certain populations more than others. More senior people don't like driving in the dark to begin with. And sometimes, you know, 5 o'clock isn't late at night, but it can be dark in Missoula at 5 o'clock.
Right.
You know, and they're out coming home from work or they're going shopping downtown or they're doing something and there's a new street configuration. It's cold. The roads might be a little slippery, all of that kind of stuff. And they're trying to navigate all that. And so from a safety perspective, you know, I think you're absolutely right. There needs to be a look at, you know, do you have more light? Do you have more indicators? Do you do stuff that's, you know, holds their attention more rather than distracts people? You know, maybe there's a no texting lane or something, because I see that all the time. I mean, everywhere. Right. People are stuck at the corner because they're finishing doing a text when they're not supposed to.
Yeah.
Well, and your point about lighting, this is something that I actually learned when I came to work for the city. I think this is so cool. The city actually has an outdoor lighting ordinance, which helps preserve the night sky. And so that means that the lights that we would put in would be high efficiency and LED, you know, trail light type lights, you know, if they're along the trail or if they're going in downtown, they're going to follow particular design regulations that make sure that it is also good for, you know, creatures and pollinators and things like that. And so it's helping not just human populations, but like the wildlife, which is so important to many Missoulians as well.
Right. And let's not forget the bicycle lanes.
Oh, bicycle lanes.
No, we have important. Not forgotten the bicycle.
I know you haven't. I'm saying that's not as we're, educating our listeners, the bicycle lanes are very important to make sure that they're not shortchanged in any of this, because that's a very... You know, I've seen them. We've all seen bicycle accidents in Missoula from people that aren't paying attention. It's usually not the bicyclists, you know, but occasionally it is. But it's usually drivers who aren't paying attention to them.
Right. And that's where this project, you know, I'm thinking Higgins specifically will have, you know, buffered bike lanes, separated bike lanes. Thinking through the hip strip, I was shocked the other day walking down there and I saw a couple of people riding their bikes along the hip strip in lane. And I thought, wow, they must be so brave.
Yeah, right.
And
they're suicidal.
At the same time, I am so excited to see these bike lanes being implemented to create that separation and give those bikers that space that they need and that the cars need also. So they're not, you know, apprehensive driving around car or the bikes or whatever it may be.
Let's do a quick ID. Our guests are Megan McMeekin and Ashley Warren. Megan is the senior project manager with the city of Missoula, and Ashley is the communication lead for the SAM project and for the city of Missoula.
I sometimes think, in just continuing that thought for a moment, that the challenge between automobiles and bicycles is like in the 1870s, the challenge between the sheep herders and the ranchers. You know, it's two groups, you know, that deserve to have access. And, you know, each group thinks they have a priority. And so the city has to be in a position not to mediate, but to make sure that, there's no escalation in the wrong kind of interaction between bicyclists and motorists.
So one way that we describe this project is that it is a multi modal project,
Right.
meaning that when we are considering safety, when we're considering
Right.
accessibility, when we're focusing on mobility, that we're not only looking at bike lanes or we're not only looking at car lanes. We're looking at, in this area, how will it affect somebody in a car? How will it affect a pedestrian? How will it affect somebody who maybe uses a mobility aid?
Right.
How we're looking at all of the different types of transportation at the same time.
Right. You bring up a really important point, particularly in a college town. We have 10,000, college students or whatever. I can't tell you how many times I see people crossing the street, whether the light's flashing or not, texting on their cell phone,
Text
walking, looking
participants.
down, not even looking around them and expecting everybody else to stop. It's like in Vietnam where the traffic never stops and you just have to, step out into it and hope they don't hit you. I mean, there's almost that attitude in a way. It's more pronounced in actually bigger cities. When you go to back to when I go back to New York, there are people crossing the street all over the place that aren't looking up. They feel people moving, so they think the lights change and they're moving too, texting on their apparatus, and they're relying on the kindness and the safety recognition of drivers or bicyclists not to get hit.
Yeah,
Yeah.
it's a challenge. It's a challenge regardless of how you travel downtown. I
Yeah.
personally, as a frequent pedestrian downtown, I make sure I always wave
Yeah,
at a vehicle.
right.
And so they see me and
Yeah.
I'll often mouth, "Thank you."
Yep.
So
Right.
that motorist knows that I see them, they see me.
There's a lot of, benefit in being a defensive driver, bicyclist, walker, pedestrian, and certainly somebody that has any kind of disability or mobility issue. They have to take the initiative to make sure everybody else knows.
For sure. For
Quick
sure.
question. So either of you could answer this. So there are other initiatives that may not be as far along in town, but I know one of them was the Brook Street corridor with the Midtown group was trying to put together, where they were going to bring, I don't know if it was light rail or some form of mass transit along Brooks. How does this plan integrate or contemplate working with some of those other ideas that the city is working on?
Yeah, that's a great question, Scott. The plan you're talking about is Transform Brooks, Connect Midtown, which was, yes, a plan to bring bus rapid transit to Brook Street. And there are constant efforts to make sure that when we're designing something in downtown, that we're also cognizant of how it affects Midtown or how it affects Russell Street. Megan, you being in the Public Works and Mobility Department, you could absolutely speak to this.
And it's exactly that. Is like, this I'm not as familiar with the Brooks plan as Ashley is, I'm sure. That is many years out, and we are in this preliminary planning for that project specifically. But knowing that that could be coming, obviously they're integrating this downtown plan into that. Also thinking Russell Street's coming up, and we've got other projects in town, and how are we making sure that all of these are connecting and integrated together? That is definitely happening in the works, and making sure that those projects are coordinated. And at the same time, many of them come back to the same project goals of making this
Right.
corridor, whatever corridor it is, safer and more accessible and more mobile for, all users. And so this idea of safety, access, mobility isn't just unique to downtown.
May add one other element we hadn't talked about. What is the plan or change in plans or modifications necessary for buses? We're going from, to three lanes, and you could have buses going both directions at the same time. Is there any
Right.
consideration for doing things differently related to the buses?
Right. And I can't really speak for Mountline or what they have in store, but knowing that they are an integral part of our team to making sure that they have the information and the design drawings to make sure that they're seeing the information that they need. So also knowing that, you know, with front main conversion happening, they need to add a bus route or stop on Main Street, I believe it is, on the opposite side of the street of the direction of flow that it typically is going. So there's that kind of work. And then there's making sure also that those bus stops are the current bus stops that will be getting reconfigured are staying in those locations and are meeting the needs of the new buses that they have running right now too.
Yeah. Are you anticipating that bus utilization will increase as a result of this or decrease or remain the same? Is there any indication of what might be the effect on that?
I don't have...
I think this is a potential benefit of the project, right? Is that
yeah.
I think there are a lot of people in Missoula, I'll count myself as one of them, that I'd love to ride my bike to work. It absolutely is a distance that I could manage. But the part that I am afraid to manage is riding my bike through the hip strip because the lanes are so narrow and it is a shared bike lane instead of a separated bike lane. So once that changes, I would be one less person driving downtown or parking downtown because now I'm a person who would be on my bike. And I think if there was a bus stop closer to someone else, they might take the bus downtown instead of feeling like they had to drive. I think this
mode
you know, the
shift
project,
is
there's a mode
allowing.
Shift. Yeah, there's an opportunity
shift.
To actually bring more people downtown because each mode is getting easier for each type of person
right.
who would want to use
yeah.
it. Right.
Yeah, I think there's often with bus utilization, you know, an excuse like it's confusing. There's all these different routes. It takes about 3 minutes to figure it out, right? So, you know, maybe, I don't know, something color-coded, something like in some other places around the country, they have digital signs that say buses arriving in 4 minutes and, you know,
yeah.
stuff like that might make, you know, might make a difference. A town like Missoula should have much higher bus utilization. It makes a lot of sense.
Well, and they have a great app that has
yeah.
that kind of information. You can look right on the app and see
right.
when your bus is arriving, and it's free. The bus
yeah.
is free.
Yes.
I know,
like
which is amazing.
It's the best deal in America. Free bus, get the
well,
app, use
right.
it.
I know that there was a lot of talk, especially as you start to think about how the city is starting to expand out to the Y, and there's another 15,000 homes being planned for out at Y Montana, and then the airport and that down Broadway is how do you connect to those projects, right? How do you connect to those aspects of the city? Because we're becoming a bigger city. So this really is the point of origin, it feels like, for a lot of that, like where the journey begins. So how
right.
much has that conversation been had internally with your stakeholders?
I think that is a central conversation in meetings or big picture planning that we have frequently in our long-range transportation plan and identifying things that, you know, in 20 years from now, what are we seeing this traffic in Missoula could look like? And taking that information and, okay, how do we connect this? And how do we make this easier to get from A to B? Again, with that, the mode shift dynamic or idea is making sure that the connection isn't just with vehicles and making sure that we really do have this bus route or the bike lanes for people to follow as well.
And that's why the master planning process is so important. And that's why we consider those as documents to reference. But keep in mind, they are plans. That means that it may not be exactly the way it looked in that document. But when you have a master plan, yes, you can consider those bigger questions like, what does this look like in 20, 30, 40,
right.
50 years
Even
in the future?
I mean, it's really important, as you know, and you're dealing with, you know, on the surface seems like, you know, kind of safety, access, mobility, something that maybe is, you know, it's stayed, but it really is very dynamic. I mean, with the advent of AI, with the advent of, you know, autonomous, you know, operating vehicles, I see them all over, you know, as I mentioned, I'm in Nevada for part of the winter. They're free here now, so people get used to using them, but you can have those. They'll be, personal hovercraft type things within 20 years for sure. They'll be flying over the roads and landing. You'll be figuring out where they can land downtown so that people can
Yeah,
come in. I hope
absolutely.
they can make
That's
a
what I
left-hand
just
turn.
find it. I find so
You still won't be
interesting
able to
this.
make it.
Yeah, this evolution of transportation over time, between horses and buggies and bikes and then the automobile and, now e-bikes and everything else that's coming. But this transportation is or transportation project is just another step in that evolution.
I got to tell you, the website engagemissoula.com is excellent. It really provides all of the necessary information. I mean, it gives you a lot of different information to explore. And yes, Ashley, to your point, the ability to sign up for text alerts and updates, et cetera, is very prominent, which is great. Like for anybody that's interested in this project, engagemissoula.com has so much good information. And it looks like you guys keep this updated all the time. And I didn't realize, right? It started in 2009 with the downtown master plan. And here we are, 2026, and we are in design phase. Construction starts 2027 or
I think it says 2027.
maybe
We are
2028.
trying to get there by this fall of 2026, but we've got a lot of steps to get accomplished before we can really break ground. So
Sure.
it could be 2027, spring 2027. It could be fall of 26.
Megan, where were you before you came to Missoula? You mentioned you were on the East Coast too. What's your background?
I'm going to start at the beginning. And born and raised here in Missoula. I went to school at Montana Tech in Butte, America. From there, went out to Vancouver, Washington for a year with a major general contractor, up to Vancouver, BC for 4 years, again with that contractor. And then I asked if I could go out to a project on the East Coast in New York. New Jersey is where the bridge spanned between Bayonne, New Jersey. It was a
You went there
interesting experience. I did go there.
near the
And
Pulaski Skyway?
I actually, when Ashley
It's
was
my
talking earlier
hood,
today
Ashley. That's
about
my hood.
when Ashley was talking earlier today about how, she waves at the car to say thank you that they
Yeah.
stopped. And it took me back to when I was living in New Jersey. And I think I tried that once and it was not the same reaction. And I was out there a year and realized, I think my heart's calling me back to Montana.
Where
So
did you live? Where did you live?
I lived along the Jersey Shore.
Oh, okay. Well, that's nice.
No,
Where?
I know it was great. Gosh, Red Bank.
Oh, beautiful. Count Basie Theater.
It was really cool. It was a great experience. But just something about the community feel of Missoula just
Brought you back.
is so unique, and that's what
And
I
what a
make a bit
central
of home.
project. And Ashley had some time on the East Coast too. Ashley, will you
Yeah.
furnish us with some of your background?
Oh, sure. I also was raised here in Missoula. I lived on the East Coast while I was going to grad school for creative writing. I was in Portland, Maine. I always like to say that Portland, Maine and Missoula, Montana are basically the same place. You just trade the ocean for mountains and the cowboys for sailors, and it's the same.
A beautiful town, the Portland,
Oh,
Maine.
it is beautiful. I was in academia for a while. I taught writing. And then I actually, some of you will know this, I got into radio. And I
I was
actually
great at
worked.
it.
I worked here at Town Square Media. I was one half of the Chris and Ashley show. I was the radio broadcaster of the year with Chris in 2024. I'm not sure I've told the story on the radio. I can't remember. But when we had the horrible wind storm in Missoula, which is actually when Megan came to work for the
It
city,
was day two for me.
it was day two for her.
Oh, that's fun.
I was so moved by the way the city came together to recover from that disaster. And I saw the people at the city of Missoula working together to make that happen and the communication that was happening. my heart was kind of tugged and pulled in that direction. I wanted to be more of a helper. And so I applied and got a job with the redevelopment agency at the city of Missoula, and I've been here for about a year now.
Fantastic. Hey, Scott, do we have time for a 1 minute story?
We, of course.
Yeah. So I'm in Portland, Maine, a couple of years ago,
Okay.
walking down the cobblestones near the old buildings that used to store cotton from the transportation era of river and ocean transportation. And there's an unhoused person on the corner, with the light and sitting there. And I'm waiting at the light, and he has a little hat out, and I put some money in it. And I said to him, "Where are you from?" And he says, "Nashville, Tennessee." And I said, "Nice town." And he says, "What are you doing here?" He said, "Well, I got just followed my instinct to get here." And I said, "You have a place to stay?" And he says, "Yeah, there's a great place here." He said, "Where are you from?" I said, "Missoula, Montana." He said, "I love the Pavarello Center. That's a fantastic place." I said to him, "Do you have like a AAA guide of shelters around?" I mean, here's a guy in Portland, Maine, from Nashville, Tennessee, who loves the Pavarello Center in Missoula, Montana.
That's fascinating.
Wow.
Yeah.
That
Such a
is
connection.
fascinating.
Yeah. That's my
Oh,
Portland story.
let's do this. Let's do
Okay.
this. Let's take a quick break. Arnie, we are back with our guests, Megan and Ashley from the city of Missoula.
Two questions to end the conversation, which has been fantastic and really informative. So, how do people stay engaged? How do they find out the information about what's going on with the project? How do they get updates? What is the process that you want to see local citizenry engage in?
I should
Sure.
take
Well,
it.
yeah, we talked about the website. I would love to see folks come to the open houses when we schedule those because that is really where folks will have the opportunity to ask their questions and talk to the people who are actually designing the project. So those are really special opportunities to see this project as it comes to life. But if folks want to know what's going on, the absolute best way is to subscribe for project updates at engagemissoula.com. You can get on the newsletter. You can get those text updates as well. And right now, they're not going out very often because we don't have a ton of updates, but they will increase over time. And that
Right.
truly is the best way. For example, this week, while we're recording this, there was construction happening in downtown. The project was boring under the street in order to test the street and find out what materials were there for the Downtown Sam project. A notification about the lane closures went out to the people who are already subscribed. So if you had been subscribed, you would have known.
Fantastic. Yep, fantastic. I just want to remind our listeners that engagemissoula.com is not a dating site. It's a SAM site. It's for Safety, Access, and Mobility Project.
It's for all
Lastly,
projects actually at the city of Missoula, but ours is there too.
what happens 2029? What's the next big thing coming down the pike?
I would say we get to enjoy all these great features that we just work so hard to install.
Well, that's important. That's very important. But
Right.
yeah,
Big
we
picture though, throughout Missoula, we've got a lot of different transportation projects coming through. And a lot of them really, I think, are going to wrap up around 2029. So,
yeah.
yeah.
And how does the Fox, what used to be called the Fox Theater Project, that whole area, which people for a long time wanted to see, redeveloped and have restaurants and new bridges going across the river and, a new vibrancy, near Orange and the cross streets there. How does that fit into all of this?
Sure. So
Yeah.
that project also has a webpage at engagemissoula.com.
Good.
The plan right now is Averill Hospitality is going to build a hotel there, and that project will intersect with the Downtown Safety, Access, and Mobility project. It's pretty
Great.
cool.
That's very cool.
Yeah, you have a great navigation on this website, City Projects, that has pretty much everything. This is a find, this website. This is essential for any Missoulian.
Engage Missoula website.
Dot com.
Dot com.
Anyway, Megan McMeekin, Ashley Warren, thank you so much for your time this
Absolutely.
morning. We appreciate you
Thanks for
both.
having us. Yes, our pleasure.
Okay, Arnie, I'll see you next
Yeah,
Sunday.
Scott, take care. Thank you, Ashley and Megan.